What's up? This is Schmitty with a new episode of Talkin' Schmidt. Today on the show, I drove out to a private vert ramp to interview the young buck from the East Bay, JD Sanchez. Been stoked to do these in person lately, and I hope I can do more of them. Before we start, though, I'd like you all to please click the subscribe, touch that like, pound, 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 pound,
pound, pound, pound, pound,
pound, pound.
Now that I got that out of the way, I have some great news. February 3rd is today. We dropped the official trailer for The Legend of Phil Shao documentary.
Hell yeah!
As most of you know, this has been the biggest passion project of my career, and some have already labeled it my magnum opus.
What the fuck is that?
The full length will be hitting soon.
Friday!
And I mean very soon.
Friday!
I'm excited. Thank you guys for your patience, especially you, Mr. Timothy Donald McKenney.
Fuck are they, dude? I need my Talkin' Schmidt, man!
When's it coming out? Premiere, YouTube, Thrasher, Netflix, HBO, everybody wants to see it.
Whoa, slow it down.
Okay, well, let's send it over to our friends, the official sponsor of the show,
Blood Wizard.
And then we'll get to the JD Sanchez interview. Phil Shao documentary is in the can. Hopefully more Talkin' Schmidts on a regular basis from here on out. Thank you guys for the support. I can't wait for y'all to see the doc. Let me know what you think. And take note of this kid, JD Sanchez. He's the real deal.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard!
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden, and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
What's up? It's JD Sanchez, and you are now watching Talkin' Schmidt.
Hey,
Talkin' Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean? Well, Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Our big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
John? Schmitty?
Talkin' Schmidt.
Alpha Macaroni.
Most of these guys' opinion don't matter.
Talkin' Schmidt, right?
It's skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talkin' Schmidt.
What are Yuns doing?
Holy shit.
Skateboarding homies.
No, Schmitty, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory.
Yes, we are.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
All right, guys, check this out. I got blindfolded in San Francisco, took a boat across to the East Bay, picked up in some truck, threw me in the back. I don't know where we are, but look at this view. We got a huge vert ramp here, and we got JD Sanchez here. Yes. Thanks for joining, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So that you could come check out this mystery place.
Yeah. So I want to hear your story, because were you born and raised in Pleasanton or Livermore?
No, I was born in Hawaii. We moved to Vegas when I was one. Lived in Vegas for like a year. Then we moved to Fairfield, and that's where I grew up most of my time. I lived there until like 14, and then we moved to Pleasanton. So we've been here for 2 years now, and my homie, he already lived up here, and he had his vert ramp at his old spot, and then he moved it to this beautiful place. So then we're just like, shoot, might as well stay here. Plus, it's closer for my dad to go to work, you know, and closer to the city, so I enjoy it much more out here for sure.
Okay, here's the most obvious question. What put you on four wheels?
Oh, this is kind of funny, because I got my board when I was four for Christmas. It was like a complete setup. I think it was from Vans. I still have it, and I skated it recently, actually, just for fun. But
you kept your first board?
Yeah, I kept my first board. I still have it, everything. And I didn't skate it for the first like 2 years. So it would always be in the trunk of my parents' car, and we would go to the skate park, and I would ride my bike, scooter, ripstick, everything but the skateboard, pretty much. And then one day, I was in the basketball court next to the skate park, and my dad brought out the skateboard and started doing tic-tacs. And I was like, okay, I kind of want to try that. I tried it, and then eventually I learned it, and I kept trying a bunch of other stuff. And then I decided to go into the skate park, which was right next to the basketball court, since I saw skaters there. And I was like, I want to do that. So then after that, pretty much like every day almost, I would just go to the park and try to practice skating, learn skating, you know. And a lot of the locals, because I used to skate the skate park called Cordelia, a lot of the locals out there, they're very nice and they helped me progress a lot. So they also had a big part in like keeping me engaged with skating and like keeping me loving it.
That's the Fairfield skate park, or which one?
Cordelia. Because I didn't even know about Fairfield skate park until one of the homies from Cordelia was like, oh, there's one like not too far from your house. And I was like, oh dang. So then I started going to the Fairfield skate park a bunch too, and that's where I learned a lot of my mini tricks. So
are your parents from Hawaii?
Yeah, they lived there pretty much all of their life until I was born. And then once I turned one, they moved out here to Cali because got priced out of paradise, too expensive out there. But I go back every year with my parents, and it's kind of like I still know all the family out there. But
which island?
Oahu. We lived
shout
on the west
out
side.
Haimana.
Yep. Yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, ever since that, we just been living out here in the mainland for a while. Yeah.
Okay, so but did your dad surf or skate when he was younger?
My dad skated very like not much. He barely skated. He just skated around a little. But he was more of a BMXer and obviously a surfer, but he was mostly a BMXer. He would skate bike on vert ramps.
Mm.
They built a vert ramp. I don't even know where. He only has like two photos of it, and he would always bike it. So
damn. Yeah. You skated wallows?
I haven't skated wallows yet. I want to, though.
You gotta get there. That's iconic.
I know, it's so iconic.
Yeah, especially on that island. And then I don't know if you were aware, this might have been before your time, but probably right around when you're skating is they had the mini ramp contest with the big channel where Mark Gonzalez all, yeah.
Yes, I was there. It was like right after I started, like 2 years after.
Okay.
I was there, I met Gons, I met Phelps, everyone. It was just so sick. And I got to skate for a little, and then I didn't skate after, but it was just crazy watching everyone skate that thing. Like, I have the Thrasher Mac from then, and you can, like, barely see me in the background in the stands.
On the cover?
No, not on the cover.
Oh.
But, like, in the
article?
Hell of a Paradise section.
Yeah.
I'm, like, in the very, very back. You can barely see me, but it's so funny. Yeah.
So who were some of your early, like, once you start kind of recognizing that skateboarding is bigger than just you and your friends, seeing a magazine or watching video or whatever, who were somebody that you're, like, that's my dude, you know?
I always loved Bucky. Bucky has been my favorite since like the beginning.
Okay.
And then
that's a good
also
one. Buck.
Yeah, Bucky. And also, even though I didn't skate street, I love Ashad. He's like my favorite. He was my first, like, my first board that I rode was an Ashad board. And I loved it. Purple, it was like a purple tiki graphic kind of vibe.
Mm.
Everything. It was so sick. And he's just like one of my favorite street skaters in general, just all together.
We've had discussions about Ashad, and a lot of times Ashad seems to be, this is such a tough conversation, right? But possibly one of, if not the greatest skater of the year of all time. Like, just his enthusiasm, his skate rap mentality. He skates everything.
Yep.
And just, I mean, Ashad, what's not to like? The guy's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, I've met him too. He's such a nice dude.
Yeah.
He's my favorite for sure.
Okay, yeah. So here's a tricky one for me, because as a kid, I was growing up skating transition. Street skating really was more about just rolling down the street. It wasn't what it is today.
Yeah.
So it was obvious to go find ditches and ramps and stuff. But in your era, like, the cool guys go street skating. What brought you to, and how did you have access to, like, skating these kind of things and learning on them?
Yeah, so The main reason why I got into like transition skating is because I went to Napa Skate Park, like when it first opened, grand opening day.
The new one, the big one, not the OG.
No, not the OG one, not the OG one. Yeah, but the new one, I went there for grand opening, and there's a bunch of skaters there. They're just shredding, doing airs and stuff. And I thought that looked way cooler than hitting a rail. So I was like, dang, I want to learn that. So after a while, I just kept going to Napa. There was always like older guys sessioning the bowl. I didn't really care about like skating with kids my age. Just I wanted to skate bowl and like transition. Skated all the time. Eventually, somebody like was like, oh, you should come to Berkeley Vert. So that's where I would go a lot. Berkeley Vert and then also Richmond Vert Ramp before they closed. Mm. But yeah, Berkeley Vert is where I would mainly go. So that's where I learned mostly everything leading up to like fives and stuff. Every trick before like a five, I pretty much learned there, you know?
So you got Max, you got Fedge, you got Sean.
Yep.
Zach.
At the time, I didn't even know how legendary Max was, and I was just skating with him, and same thing with like Fedge, obviously Sean, Zach, and it was just, I didn't know, I thought they were just like the homies. And now that I'm like at the point that I am now, I'm like, dang, I was really skating with them. That's kind of crazy to think about.
You were probably skating with Max like towards the tail end of his skating. Yeah. But I mean, he filmed a whole part at the Berkeley Vert Ramp.
Yep.
Super good. What was your first trick you learned? Do you remember? Was it backside? Was it frontside? Like, what was it? Airs? What was one of the things that you're like, I learned a trick today?
I feel like the first trick that I really enjoyed learning was like, or not enjoyed, but the first air trick, I think, was a frontside air.
Frontside air.
And I'm pretty sure it was the stinkiest bug that you can get. But it's funny how I learned frontside airs before backside airs.
Like grabbing before coping and in between
and like
your legs.
Boom. Yep, that was the first one. I think I had a purple helmet at the time. I don't know. It was just, yeah, that was the first trick pretty much, like air-wise in like a bowl. But before that, I was just like rock to fakies and I would always do, like, when you come up to a quarter pipe and then you just do, like a full cap without popping, basically. That was my favorite thing to do on mini ramp. So that was, like, yeah, that was my first, like, favorite trick to do, you know? Mm. But even if you count that a trick, you know? But that was definitely the first thing. The frontside air was the first air trick, though. Yeah.
So we all have mentors and we all have, like, people that are kind of mean to us with tough love, like, dude, don't do that kind of stuff. I was always told that Benihanas weren't cool, so like, you know, and obviously don't grab between your legs. And one of the first things that I learned, because it was the Embarcadero days, was when you land something, you don't look around at everyone to see if they saw you. They call that beaming. Do you remember, like, when you started skating, anybody telling you that something that, like, at the time you thought didn't, and now you think like, I'm glad they told me that, like that's kind of like something that helped me?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really beam too much when I was first starting. But I'd say stink bugs for sure.
Stink bug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just anything.
Grab
stink
around
bug.
The leg,
yep,
right?
Every time. Everything I do now is like tugney. Kickflip indies, heel flip indies, any flip trick, it's got to be tug knee for me now. I can't do it stink bug. I don't even know why. I don't even know if it looks better, but it just, my mind just tells me to do it.
The only time stink bug works is if you're going grosso and you go straight legged.
That's different for sure. Yeah,
then you got something. But yeah, if you're just like, I think Fedge actually had a photo in the mag doing one on purpose to kind of just show you how like bad style it is. Because skating's, you know, style's important. 100%. And so if you look crummy doing something great, it's not that great anymore.
Yeah, that is
so
true.
So you'd rather do something maybe not as great, but make it look as good as you can. That's what I've always thought. So that's interesting. The stink bug still exists even many years later. So your parents are obviously super supportive of you.
Yeah.
Are you getting into contests early or like going to skate camp? Like, how did you kind of go from a regular skater to like an enthusiast, like this is what I want to do.
Yeah, so shout out to my parents because they're like the best. They're the most supportive.
Mom's
parents
up there right
shout
now.
Shout out to my mom, shout out to my dad who's working and making it all happen for me. So yeah, shout out to them. But the first contest I did was probably a year after I started skating. It was at the Livermore Skate Park, that one Sunken Gardens park. And I ended up winning my division. And I was like, okay. And I met a bunch of friends there. And I became friends with that like little group in Livermore. And we would always go skate and always do these little contests. And I just enjoyed like hanging out with my friends and going to these new skate parks and competing, getting free stuff, you know? So yeah, I would do a lot of like little contests. Castle was my main thing. Go to Castle every month, drive up to SoCal, do that. And then I never really did any camps. I did a little bit at the Berkeley camp, but nothing too crazy. And I was just mostly like, I was really into contests then. I enjoyed it so much because it was just hanging out with my friends and just competing against each other. Now, I love contests still, but I can do it without a few, you know what I mean? Like, I could just chill and skate, you know, and not worry about that.
So the older we get, there's something called awareness. And once you start being aware of the stresses, that takes away the fun. When you're young, you're not aware of anything. And 100%. You're like, I didn't know. I dropped in on Tony Hawk. I didn't know. And then you get older and you're like, I ain't dropping in on Tony Hawk. Right?
100%.
So like, that's kind of the thing with contests. And then there's more at stake too. And maybe your sponsors are telling you what to do. I always hated that one where the team manager's like, why don't instead of you doing this, you do that? And you're like, am I skating or are you skating?
Yeah.
So that's, is that when you started getting maybe like you got your first free, I don't know what was first for you, but maybe you got a free set of wheels or a skateboard or?
My first like sponsor was a shop sponsor called Board Garden in Napa. And that also like helped me a lot. I was like, dang, I can get free stuff from skating. Let's do it. And my first package I got from them, I was at Napa Skate Park skating. My parents came with a deck. It was another shot deck. And it was like a VHS tape. I think it was his Awesome Mix tape or something like that. And I was like, dude, this is sick. Got shirts and everything. I was like, you know what? I love this. So I just kept skating, had that sponsor, eventually got like a board sponsor, and then kept on growing. Now I got a bunch of them. But yeah, funny thing about that shop board, actually, I went to this demo in SF. They had Tony Hawk. That was another inspiration, actually. Evan Dorothy, Big E. I went to the demo in SF. Big E was there. And I saw that little kid doing crazy tricks. I was like, damn, I think I can do that then. He's doing it, I can do it. So that also helped me a lot. I got everyone to sign it. Tony signed it, Kev signed it, Kevin Staub, everyone. And now I lost the board. So I'm kind of sad about that.
Oh, was that at the one where like it was a private, some rich guy gave money to Tony for the foundation and they had like on the top of a hill, a lot or something across from his house?
I forget if it was on top of a hill. I think it was like, it was kind of by Soma.
Okay.
Because I remember they were at Soma first.
But it's that one where the guy donated, like I think the guy had money and gave it to Tony for Skate Park Foundation.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, yeah.
Okay.
So that was my first experience of like a real vert ramp to
and look, is that
watch.
Your first time seeing pros in person?
Yeah, definitely. That was my first time seeing like...
Like you knew who Tony Hawk was already.
Yep.
And then you saw him in person.
Yep.
What's that like for you?
Shoot, that was like just a surreal moment. I just was watching a lot of the Ride Channel videos when he would do like the tutorials and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I would see him there skating. I was like, what the heck? This is so crazy. And then also Big E, I was honestly more happy to see Big E at the time because he wasn't my age, but he was around my age and he was doing all that gnarly like sevens and everything. And just seeing him skate in person and doing all that crazy stuff, and he was like my age, I was like, dang, if he can do it, I can put my mind to do it and
yeah.
do the same thing. So,
shout out to Big E.
Shout out to Big E. I hope he's doing well. I haven't seen him in a while.
Do we know what happened to Asher Bradshaw?
Something with his, I heard there's something with his spine, but he was another one I loved too. Asher Bradshaw and then that other kid, Fox Rio.
Didn't Asher do, he did a 720 in the combi or something. He was one of the first kids.
I think so. Yeah.
Because we skated with him in down south and he was spinning and he slammed and that was maybe the last time I saw him, but he was a little kid ripper from I don't know where.
Yeah, Asher was really good. I would watch his IG clips all the time. Him and Fox Rio, those were like another two skaters that I really enjoyed watching, especially since they're my age.
So were you learning tricks through YouTube? Did those trick tutorials actually help you?
Yeah, some of them did for sure. But also like when I was in the very early stages, some skaters, like locals, knew how to do them, so they would give me tips, and that would help a lot. But yeah, I would watch a lot of the Ride Channel videos. Those were like my main source for like transition tricks, trying to learn tricks for the longest.
And if you're gonna come, let's say you come to this ramp and you want to film some good stuff, what's it gonna take for you to do that? What's your best scenario? Is it like, I want to come here with my filmer and that's it? I want to come here with my bros, or I want to come here with some people that are really good and gonna help elevate me?
Shoot, I feel like it'd be a little bit of my bros and a few like, well, pretty much most of my bros are really good skaters as well.
Okay.
So like some of the locals from here, some people from SoCal up here, that would be prime to film a clip because, yeah, we're just pushing each other, you know? I love skating with people. I'm not a big fan of skating by myself.
Right.
But skating with people is so much fun, especially people that are pushing you to keep going and get better.
And you know? Skating something like this, like, let's say nobody's here and it's just you. Like, you could be... You need somebody just in case something bad happens, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you're out here in the middle of nowhere and you slam and can't walk or whatever, you need somebody to help you get to the car and get you to some help. So
definitely,
skating different things equals different scenarios. I know, like, sometimes I like getting up in the morning and going on like a soul searching, just skate down the streets by myself. But I would never skate something like this by myself. I would always want to have a couple people on hand.
Yeah, for sure.
So absolutely. What was the first board sponsor you got?
First board sponsor was this little company called Skate Crime.
Skate Crime.
I skated for them for a while, I'd say, like
where
four
were they out
five
of?
Years. I don't even remember. It's been so long, but they were like very small company. I don't know if you ever heard of, you know, Mikey Zion. He used to skate really well, but he hasn't skated in a while now. And I always used to skate with DeMarcus. He wasn't on Skate Crime, but he would always hang out with the guys on Skate
cool.
Crime.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know Rat Face, Chris
yeah.
Rat Face. Yeah, he used to ride for Skate Crime, so I would.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those are like the Concord kind of out there.
Yeah.
He used to come to Deathmatch in Austin every year, Rat Face, which, he's a character.
Yeah, he is. But
and shout out to DeMarcus. If none of you out there know, follow DeMarcus on Instagram. This guy's skating across the United States by himself right now, and I could never do it, but inspiration. And just like a lot of huevos, man. It's pretty crazy to see what this guy's doing.
It's so crazy. That's especially by yourself too, nobody. Yeah. That's gnarly.
Yeah, so. Okay, so where do you go from there?
After Skate Crime, I think my next sponsor was like Power Flex Wheels, possibly. Oh. And like this other Australian like bearing company called Yabra. Huh. So I would skate for them for a while, do a bunch of contests, and then eventually Yabra went out of business. Skate Crime, I didn't really skate for them too much, you know?
I like that. Yabra went out of business. No
yeah.
bra.
Yeah, but they had some good bearings, I can't lie.
That wasn't Brent Margaritas, was it?
No, I don't think so. They're all, no, but Yeah, and then Powerflex, I just decided to change and just ride whatever I wanted because I thought they're too slippery. But shout out to Jim because he helped me a lot at the very beginning of my skating years. So shout out Jim. And Skate Crime, I just decided to part from that because I got on Foundation for a little bit.
Oh.
I was on Foundation for a bit and was also on Nike for a bit. But
how did Foundation with Mike Sinclair?
Yeah, through Mike. I don't exactly remember how it was, but I think it was somebody we knew.
Maybe
hit up Mike, was like, oh, there's this kid coming up and whatever. So I got on Foundation for a bit, was on Foundation for like a year. Same thing with Nike. I was on Nike for around a year, but then they had that whole thing where they kicked like a bunch of people off and I got kicked off too. And then I just left Foundation because of Braille. That's when I started doing Braille stuff. And then I was with them for a while. Now I'm not a part of that at all. And I ride for H Street now, skateboards. Yeah.
Tony Mag?
Yep, T-Mag.
T-Mag.
Yep, and then obviously Spitfire, Thunder, Mob, Bronson. Yeah, all the good stuff. And like Spitfire was like what I used to ride when I was like first starting my first wheels and also trucks. My friend got me a pair of trucks, Thunder trucks, for my birthday, and I never rode them. And I was just like, okay, these are nice. They're like the black on black ones. I was like, okay, let's try them. And I loved them. So I just rode Thunders for the rest. And then when I got like a Thunder sponsorship, that was just like so sick.
Thunder trucks?
Yeah.
Frankie Gerwer.
Yep, shout out Frank.
So I don't know what you want to say and what you can say, but can we touch a little bit on the Braille stuff? Like for people that don't know, like it seems like it was a sour situation at the end, but it's actually where I met you.
Yeah.
At the vert ramp that they had in their warehouse in the East Bay. Like I said, we don't have to bash anybody or whatever you want to do, but is there a way to kind of generalize at least like what happened there?
I just decided to like get out of that. I just was like, just to part ways. They helped me grow a lot as a skater, and like they built the vert ramp and all that stuff, which was sick. And it was fun, like, cause all of the homies that skated there, I'm still homies with pretty much for the most part. And they helped me progress, and it was fun while it lasted, you know what I mean?
But it seemed like it was a YouTube sensation.
Yeah.
What's the thing that you did that maybe was the most, if you want to call it viral or whatever, like got the most views? Like you guys were doing weird stuff where you did like skating like 500 trucks or I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly love doing those videos because I was still like a kid and didn't wanted to do fun stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like always doing fun, wild stuff. I think the most viewed video that I did with them was like highest wall ride on a ripstick. Yeah, that was the most viral video. I used to be in love with ripsticks. I still am. I've done a backside air on a vert ramp with a ripstick, dropped in, all
my
that
God,
stuff.
Really?
So, yeah, I love ripsticks, but that was my most viral. It was fun, though. There's a lot of fun moments for sure when I was with them.
Okay. Yeah. But the whole thing, it seems to me from an outsider perspective, and I don't know much about it. I hear things, but I never believe what I don't know. But what I saw was you and the homies starting, I think it's called Du Bois or something, you kind of have a lot of the original crew kind of starting your stuff that you guys are all kind of like equal parts of, right?
Yeah, so we started that little Du Bois thing a while ago. We all been super busy though, so we haven't filmed in a while, but like pretty much all of those guys I'm still in contact with, I skate with like when I can, you know? And yeah, so we started that little Du Bois thing, filmed a few things, people loved it. And to be honest, I don't know if we'll film again soon. I want to, but everyone has their own thing going on, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Not everyone lives nearby. We all live like an hour away from each other, so that's the only thing. But I'm still homies with every single one of them, pretty much.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
What advice can you give someone like me who's an older person that you've learned through the YouTube world? Because I've been putting these on YouTube, and is there something that you've learned? Like, I always heard be consistent. Like, if you put it up every Tuesday and people start knowing you have a time slot in a day. But is there other things that, like, oh, people love when I maybe film with my handheld camera instead of a, you know, I don't know. But there's so many different things that go into this video world, Instagram, all this stuff. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little old. So I might be a little slow to pick up on the algorithms, tags, all that stuff. But what can you teach me here today?
Yeah, definitely consistency is key. And I got to follow that because I'm not even consistent anymore. But consistency is key. Definitely want to keep the people engaged, like don't have any boring parts for sure. And also just, you know, have a good thumbnail, have a good like video idea, you know what I mean? But I haven't posted on YouTube in a while. I haven't done it in a while. And I honestly just kind of like doing what I do, film it, and then I'll just posting, you know, and good editing helps a lot for sure. But the algorithm can be confusing for like definitely. TikTok, they don't like skateboarding.
Oh.
I would say, because I was on TikTok, did good, got banned on TikTok, made a new one, now it's not good. Instagram, pretty much, I feel like it loves skating.
I think so.
I think it loves skating.
Yeah.
YouTube is like an in-between.
Okay.
It's like, sometimes it wants to like skating, sometimes it doesn't, you know what I mean?
So for me, so, I mean, this is probably obvious, but Instagram is instant. You want like 15 seconds or less. You want to see that one, you filmed the whole part here, and I want the best trick looping. Mm-hmm. That's yep. My Instagram clip. YouTube is maybe you talking about you filming the part with showing some of it, right? The process,
yep, exactly.
Documentary style. TikTok, we ain't doing TikTok. I'm way too old for TikTok.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't do that. My wife's like, no TikTok.
Yeah, I feel that for sure.
What are your priorities now as far as like, the Olympics are behind us, and you probably made a run for that, right?
Yeah, I tried for the Olympics last year.
Because you're in the contest circuit and going, you went to VertiTac, right?
Yeah,
did VertiTac. And all those things. So you're a seasoned traveler.
Yeah.
What in your mind is like super important for you now? Like, is a contest still kind of like, if it's a contest versus this, it's the contest wins, or would you like to film a full part for like H Street or Thrasher or somebody, and that's your top thing? I want to get a great sponsor that I don't have. Like, what are some of your like goals for right now that you really want to try to chomp at?
Yeah, I definitely want to get a video part going for sure. I've been having a bunch of ideas on this ramp or like patrol all those other spots, you know, so I definitely want to get that going. But I have a few contests before that I gotta practice for. But yeah, I'm gonna try to get the work on a video part, and then next year is when Olympic qualifiers start up again for 2028, so gotta start traveling a lot again. And then also just like keep having fun with skating, because I noticed like during the Olympic times I was always practicing, not really having too much fun, and I would get like kind of burnt out, and I feel like I would just skate just to do the contest. But now that I'm like understand that I gotta have fun, I just like don't stress too much on the contest until it's like literally the next week, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I just try to, number one priority for me is having fun and keeping that spark alive for sure. That's why I've been recently, I've been going to SF a lot and just skating all those parks around there.
Oh.
Go to like, homie was out here. I took him to Flower Shop, took him to TI, took him Potrero, obviously. And then a few other spots, you know. And it's fun, you know. I love even just passing by UN, getting a quick little session at the UN Plaza. There's just like so many sick people there, and you know, people that are having fun with it and just inspires you more.
I like to say I built the UM Plaza, but
yeah.
Actually I filmed them building it.
Yeah, hey, that still helps though, yeah.
It was great, man. We had like the, what was her name? London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco out there. And I come from a different time where skateboarding wasn't accepted and a lot of people looked down on us for skating. And to have the mayor of San Francisco talking to us on the same level and asking us questions about what they should do, it was surreal for me. It was just like, wow, we've put in the work for this thing to grow, you know, as a generation that, like, you know, we were a lot more punk. We had mohawks and we definitely didn't want to hear our parents and we did a lot of things that we probably aren't proud of, but it was because it was looked down upon at the same time. So we were just kind of the rebels at that time, right? But if you ever come to SF, definitely hit me up. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
I saw those clips at Potrero. That's like, I used to live like four blocks from there.
Yeah,
so
we,
fine. I've been there a lot. That's a staple. Lizzie Armano's favorite skate park, she says, to this day. So
damn,
that's high
so
praise.
Sick.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. If you're gonna film a video part, would it be a concept or would it be tricks or would it be like kind of piece together more like art, my artistic look, or like, you know, like would you film a whole part just on this ramp, or would you like, I want to get some street skating, I want it to be a well-rounded, like, have you thought about that?
I wanted,
or do you
to,
have a list? Do you have a list of all your tricks you
want? I have an idea. I want to do, my idea, which I think would be pretty cool, is to do like three separate parts. One part only vert and like wood, other part parks and like Potrero kind of vibes, you know, and then the final, or not even the final part, just the third part would be like only street, just be out in the streets, you know. And I honestly, I don't know if I wanted to do it like tricks or like art, you know what I mean. I loved Tom's part. I kind of want to do it like how Tom's part was. But I also, I watched that sci-fi fantasy video that just came out and I kind of enjoyed like all that like kind of crazy artistic style too. So I'm still thinking about that part for sure.
Okay.
But I definitely want to just try to become like an all-terrain skater for the parts for sure.
What's like, what type of street skating are you, like what level of street skating are you on?
Shoot, I'm not gonna lie, I'm all right at it. I mean, I don't go street skating very often because I don't have like homies that really skate street, so I just be skating it by myself because nobody out here skates, like goes into the streets and stuff.
Yeah.
But I can skate street pretty well. Like when I go to skate parks, I dabble around in the street section. Obviously it's like way different from the actual streets. But I definitely want to get out there and check out some stuff. Like I've been to Pier 7. I've hit that like triple set over there too. But yeah, nothing too crazy in the streets yet. Like I can like kickflip front board and like do front blunts and rails and stuff, but I just never brought it to the streets yet.
Okay.
So I just gotta go out one day.
That's the benefit you have, is like, man, there feels like there's a skate park in almost every city now. And so you can go through them and go, that's a perfect place to train, if you will, but like learn this trick to take it to this spot, right?
Yeah.
And everything has like their own like whatever, and you can figure out where a good small version of it is to take it to the place where you really want to do it. That's amazing, because I mean, I hate to say it, but we didn't have that like that.
Yeah, definitely. Us skaters nowadays are definitely spoiled for that stuff. But
yeah, but also on top of that, you got way more people that are skating.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like back then, if you skated, there was less people. So you had a 1 in 10 chance instead of a 1 in a million chance of, you know. So everything kind of like has its pros and cons and stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
And the older we get, we like to be like, we need respect for the old generation, all that. But it's like, in reality, you're going to be saying the same thing. Like my parents said the same thing. It's just, it's generational. Like everybody feels like they put all their work in to making your ride easier, but you're doing the same thing for the next people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the way that goes. Tony Magnuson, how close are you? Do you know him well?
Oh, yeah. Every time we go to SoCal, we stay with him.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's been sending me boards. He's been taking care of me for sure. And, like, every time we're in SoCal, he lets us stay there, no matter if it's a day or, like, even a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
I could just stay there as long as I want. And he's been taking care. He's been coming to contests and, like, checking me out. Sometimes he'll do what they say, like, how you're saying, tell you to do a certain trick. But he doesn't push on it heavily, which I enjoy, or I, like, respect about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, T-Mag is, he's an awesome dude. I love him. He's just so funny. He has his own opinions on everything.
Uh-huh.
And very opinionated about it, which I love.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's really sick.
You seen my boy Cookie Head down there?
I love Mr. Neil Blender, man.
I haven't seen him in a while, but he did message me recently to come skate this ramp. But yeah, Cookie, I haven't seen him in a bit, but
I love Cookie. Yeah, he's the best. Okay, I got a couple questions from Darren Navarette to ask you.
Oh, dang, okay.
Yeah. I said, Darren, I need a couple questions for you. And he came through and he said, okay, first trick he learned, and second trick he learned, and third trick he learned. Let's see what happens there.
First trick I learned, shoot, tic-tac. Second trick, kick turn. Third trick, slash.
Okay.
All little stuff.
Now,
but that's different, yeah.
Yeah. Now we're taking it to real questions. Have you ever skated blindfolded?
I've skated with an eye mask before, not on vert, on flat, a while ago. I haven't done it in a bit. And I'm not the best at it, I can't lie. I can do like a kickflip and obviously like shovings and stuff. Everything else, I just can't do it, you know?
Okay. Do you know the difference between a Benihana and a Benibongo?
Yo, I might be too new for that. Benibongo, what is that?
So, according to Lester Kasai, who made up the Benihana is you go fakie, you grab your tail, and you kick your back foot off.
Oh.
The Benibongo is you do a frontside ollie, grab your tail, and kick your back foot off.
Oh, so I do, when I do that trick, I do a Benibongo then.
Benibongo.
Oh, okay.
Nobody,
now I know.
And nobody refers it to a Benibongo.
Now,
I bet
if you now I'm referred to
call
that.
Haimana and be like, you know what a Benibongo is? Because I know he's done them, so see if he knows what it
is. Yeah, next time I see Lester and I do one of those,
yeah,
I'm going to be
go.
Like, hey, Benibongo.
Shout out, Lester. I'm about to do your move.
Yeah, shout out to Lester.
Lester, man. Man.
Shout out.
That guy's a legend,
yeah.
For sure.
100%.
Okay, this one is something. Darren, by the way, is a good friend of mine, and his mind works so much better than mine. Like, when he sent the questions over, I'm like, dude, you should be doing interviews. You're amazing. But should there be something bigger in skateboarding than the Olympics?
Oh, damn. He's getting... That's a great question. Personally, no.
Whoa, slow it down.
I think the Olympics is like the perfect like hype. It's, I think Olympics should be the biggest, in my opinion. Because I feel like Olympics is the big thing where everybody knows about it. And then like X Games is the big skateboarding comp, I guess you could say. Because that was like the dream comp for most kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Olympics is just like a step above that. Yeah, I think Olympics is the biggest, I would say. That's what I would say.
And then, should there be something bigger than skateboarding in the Olympics?
Whoa. Should there be something bigger than skateboarding in the Olympics? I mean, I feel like there already is, but...
Toboggan? What are we going with?
I feel like basketball is probably bigger than skateboarding. So, it's already there. I think it's fine to have something bigger than skateboarding, but they do be adding some random disciplines in the Olympics, I feel like.
Who's more stoked? LeBron James meeting Tom Shar or Tom Shar meeting LeBron James?
Shoot, if I was LeBron, I'd be stoked to meet Tom, but I'm sure he's not the most in tuned with skating. So Tom was probably definitely super stoked to meet LeBron.
I see those guys out there in Paris, like, dude, oh, so
I would have been stoked to be on the same boat with LeBron. Yeah. That would be sick.
Okay, and Darren has one last question, which is, would you rather go backwards or fakie?
Whoa. I'm trying to think how I would go about that. I feel fakie.
Mm.
If I'm thinking like what I think backwards would be, I don't feel like it'd be comfortable. But fakie, I'm kind of comfortable with. So I'd say fakie.
There you have it. Okay, now, how long have you live in Pleasanton, is that right?
Yeah, I live in Pleasanton.
How long have you lived there?
I've lived in Pleasanton for 2 years now, right? Yeah, I'd say around 2 years.
And are you doing homeschooling or?
Yeah, I've been homeschooled like since early fifth grade, and now I'm a junior, so I've been homeschooled for a while now. Ever since like towards the end of the Castle area for me, and more towards like the state games and stuff, that's when I started doing homeschooling, because I would get like notices from the school for missing out on too much school, you know.
I was gonna say, was the homeschooling because of all the contests and like skateboarding, or was it because people wanted your autograph all the time and you just needed to get away from all those kids?
No, it was definitely just because of the contest for sure. It was like right before the whole, you know, spiel happened, the pandemic and stuff, but
man,
yeah, that's gnarly.
Pandemic was tough. Okay, well, here's the thing. My wife grew up in Pleasanton.
Oh, really? Okay.
So we're going to ask you a couple of this or that questions, some of them are going to be Pleasanton based.
I'm low-key still pretty new to Pleasanton, so we'll see if I know everything.
Okay, well, the first one is, some of them aren't. Our first question is, Sammy Baca started this, and he said, pie or ice cream?
Ice cream. That's kind of close for me though. I love a good apple pie or pumpkin pie, any pie.
Cereal or oatmeal?
I'll say cereal. There's more options with that, I feel like.
All right, stink bug or Benihana?
Benihana, 100%.
Lake Del Val or Shadow Cliffs?
I think I've been to the one in Livermore, so I'd say the Livermore one for sure.
Oh, okay, that comes to the next question. Fishing or snowboarding?
I don't fish very often. I love fishing though when I can. And I also don't snowboard very often, and I love snowboarding when I can. But I'll say snowboarding, because I'm more, it's kind of like closer to skateboarding, you know?
Uh-huh. Okay, let's see if you know this one. Back to Pleasanton. Bob's, do you know Bob's?
The burger spot?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or the dairy?
The dairy, 100%. I used to go there every day, but I've slowed down recently. And if you're ever out in Pleasanton, check out Metal Arc Dairy. That's the best soft serve I've ever had.
Okay.
It's the best. I take everybody who comes out here that are skaters from, like, I had homies from Japan, SoCal, all that. I always take them there, and they love it. So that's the spot for sure.
Foothill or Amador?
So I'll just say Amador. It's closer to me, but yeah, I will check out Foothill because they might have some spots there. I haven't looked all the way yet.
Shout out to Foothill. My wife went there. Brandon Crawford, baseball player, he went there too.
Oh, dang.
Europe or Australia?
Only been to Australia once. Europe. I'm probably going to piss off some of my friends because a lot of my homies are from Australia. But Europe is pretty beautiful, I'll say.
Where's your favorite place you've gone in Europe?
Copenhagen was beautiful. I love Copenhagen. And then I went to Sweden too, but Copenhagen is just like, I didn't even go check out all the skate spots at the time yet. But just like that area is beautiful. I love it out there for sure. There's a whole lot of biking out there too, you know?
Yeah.
Just everything, yeah. Copenhagen is nice. I love it.
Okay, last one. NorCal or SoCal?
I don't want to make my SoCal homies mad, but I love NorCal. I've had the chance to move to SoCal, and I wanted to, like, for a bit, but now that I live out here more, I just love NorCal. There's something about it. I don't know what it is.
It's the air.
Yeah, it's just the air, honestly. Because I feel like you go to SoCal, there's, like, a There's a nice air, but nothing like the bay. Nothing like out here, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so shout out NorCal. I love it out here. I don't want to move from here. I love it.
You have it. Have you ever skated with Gregson?
I have. I skated with him, not too long ago at Tony's Ramp. He was filming that little Owl Kid.
Oh.
Shout out to Owl. He's so good. And yeah, he was talking about that too. He was like, if you ever film a video part, yeah. But he's sick, yeah.
I mean, he can follow film with the best of them, which is so awesome to add that element to the thing.
100%, yeah. It's so sick.
Yeah. So what, have you been to Burnside?
I have. I did it. I've been there like so long ago. I haven't been to that area in like 2 years, 3 years maybe. Uh-huh. But I went to Burnside so long ago, and I enjoyed it. I fived that little like bowl section and all that. But I would love to go back, because now that I'm much better at skating, I feel like I could do so much more there.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick for the finale here. As far as tricks go, because you did a 900, which definitely was a huge moment. I think, was that like at a demo for the U.S. Open or something?
Yeah, it was the X Games demo at the U.S. Open, so yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm good.
Yeah, you got it perfectly. Got the research right.
So what was that like, though? You had been working on it and said this day you felt good, or you were planning to do it there, or like, how'd it go down?
I would practice it on the old version of this ramp. Never landed it. I was too scared to land it. Went out for the contest. The day before the demo was like the contest. I got second there. I was stoked. And I was just like, okay, that's it. Tomorrow's a demo. Nothing too gnarly. Don't have to try anything. Then the demo came along. And I was like, maybe I'll try a 9. I wasn't really into it in the morning. In the morning, I was like, I don't really feel like I want to try a 9 today. Then the demo started. And the crowd was like, given a lot of energy, and I don't even know what it was, but something about it was just like, okay, maybe this is the time to try 9. Plus, it was like my first X Games like demo / anything for X Games, so I was like, shoot, I gotta make it one to remember, because this might be the only time I ever do X Games or whatever.
What city was it?
It was at HB at the right next to the
Vans Park.
No, by the boardwalk.
Oh, okay.
Right next to it, or the pier boardwalks. Pier,
yeah, okay.
The pier. Tried the 9 a few times. Jason Ellis was on the mic. He was like, stop being a baby, land it already. And then I landed it. That was just a legendary moment.
Did you point at him?
No, I didn't even think about it. And I was like, just so beyond stoked. All my homies were there too, because like...
Did you go crazy, or did you go nonchalant, like no big deal?
I landed it.
Did you land
it
and arms went up and like...
No, I landed it. Was nonchalant and then like bailed, and then I got stoked at the flat bottom, because my parents came up, my homies from up here, they came up to just watch me skate, and they wanted to go out to HB. So like,
wow.
My homie Micah, shout out Micah, Benny, my homie Jake, they were all there. All my like closest friends were there.
Shout out.
And they got to experience that moment with me, you know, and I feel like they definitely helped too, because they helped like me feel more comfortable, you know? Mm. So yeah, that was just an amazing day. And I think because of that, that helped me get into like the other X Games to do the contest. So I'm glad I did that 9, you know?
What's it like traveling for skating? Is it something that you get nervous or stressed about, or is it something you look forward to?
So I love traveling to a certain extent. I'd say I'm a homebody, kind of. I just love being in North Cal most of the time. But when I do travel, I love traveling. I don't like being away more than 2 weeks at a time. Uh-huh. So especially like if I'm in the same area for 2 weeks. So if I say I'm in Canada and then practicing at this one park or one street section for a while, just for like 2 weeks, I get bored and I'm like, dude, I want to go back home already. That's why there's some people I know, they go out to some places for months and they're just in the same area. They don't travel to check anything else out. I'm like, how the heck can you do that? I'd miss my dog. I'd miss my friends. I'd miss my bed, everything, you know?
Yeah.
So I love traveling. But I just don't like sitting in one area of that country or like, you know, continent for a bit, you know? I like going outside of that, going from Japan, Osaka, Japan, staying there for a week, going to Tokyo. And then when I was in Tokyo for the X Games, I went to this other town called Hakuba, which is like a snowboard country kind of town. And that was beautiful. It was like a getting away, you know? But yeah, just not staying in the same area for a while.
Okay. That's the main thing. And you're 17 or 16?
16. 16. Yeah, 16.
So what is like, I'm not skating today, I'm at home. What are you, video games? Are you into movies, TV? Like what do you like to do besides skateboarding?
So I have an SE bike and I love to just go out. That's like my other outing, just go on my bike. I can wheelie, I learn tricks on that too. And then I play video games with the homies all the time for sure.
What's the game?
Most of the time we play Fortnite or like Roblox. Sometimes I'd be on like Skater XL just messing around. And my friend, he stayed over and he was like, you should get this. I have a VR headset, I never use it though. And he was like, you should get this boxing game. So I got this boxing game. And me and my homie were getting hooked on it. Just like, we sucked at it and we're definitely getting better. So that thing was so much fun too. So play boxing game a lot, but mostly biking, playing video games. I have a little like basketball hoop in my backyard that I mess around with. And then I'm also I love music. So I collect vinyl records. I have like a big collection. Nice. Just love listening to music, love going to concerts, go to concerts all the time.
What's one of your best concerts you've been to?
To be honest, I've been to like this festival, it's called Camp Flognaw. It's in LA, that was like so much fun. But concert-wise?
Are we talking like hip-hop, rock, like what,
I'm more of like a hip-hop / R&B guy. But I've been trying to get more into the rock scene. There's this band that I've been listening to a lot, Turnstile. They were skaters, or I think they still are skaters. They're pretty good. I love Turnstile. There's this other artist. He's not really like, I don't even know what genre he is. His name is McGee, but I want to go see him. But yeah, the only concerts I've been to have mostly been hip hop and R&B because like, there's bands that come out here, but there's not really anybody to go with. Most of my homies are like hip hop, R&B. Okay. Plus my mom goes to most of them too. And you know, I got invited to go to a Metallica concert, but then X Games was the same day.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, I don't know what to choose. So I just ended up going to X Games. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's end with one that might be hard. What is the gnarliest skateboard thing you have witnessed in person?
Yo, this is a great question. Some pretty gnarly things that come to mind. My homie Gee, he does kickflip body varial 9. I saw that. Another thing I remembered is, to be honest, I don't even remember if he landed it, but Jagger was skating Potrero and I was there. He did like, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if he landed it. He tried kickflip back nose blunt revert in the deep end. That was pretty gnarly. Another thing, this is just very cool to me. My mom was driving me somewhere, I forget where, but I saw this guy filming for his video part. It was a Black Label video part. I think it was the most recent one. I don't know if you've seen it, was the Ender. It was like the roll-on grind down that giant like snake rail. It was like a giant down rail and I witnessed like a few of the attempts. I was literally in the intersection where the rail was and I saw them try. I was like, no way he does that. And then literally bunch of months later, on my YouTube, I see Black Label video part and that's the thumbnail. I'm like, wait, that's the rail I saw him skate. So that was kind of just a random moment because I wasn't like planning on seeing that happen and then it just happened. So that was pretty cool too. But yeah, those were pretty gnarly, I'd say.
Okay. And the other thing that I didn't ask you is, are you still afraid of the Gnar Jar?
Yes.
So explain what the NAR jar is.
The NAR jar is a 540 plus a body jar. So a body jar is like when you do an air, grab the nose, grab the tail. So you do a five, boom, landing tail. I'm still terrified of that trick.
Have you done it?
No, I haven't tried it in a while because I've been practicing for contests. But
did you try it in each hit?
No, but it's it's just terrifying. Yeah, that one in rodeo, those are my two scary ones. I can try them, but I'm just like terrified to commit.
Who is someone that does a NAR jar that does a good one?
Tate has a really good NAR jar.
Tate Crew?
Yeah, Tate Crew has a really good one. Obviously Sandro, he was like the main guy to do it.
Oh, okay.
So Sandro Diaz, he has a really good one.
And when they do it, do they do McTwist style, like upside down, or do they just do spin to it?
Most of the time it's spin to it.
Okay.
But
because you know the difference between like a 540 and a McTwist?
Yeah.
Like Lance Mountain does the one where it's just crazy.
Yeah.
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 Imagine doing that to
that'd be
tail.
Gnarly.
Oh my God.
That would be so insane.
Yeah, because I saw you did an interview with Tony Hawk and he asked you what you were most, like if you were scared of something and you said the NAR jar.
Yeah, NAR jar and rodeos. Those are my two like scariest tricks. I can spin both of them and get them like pretty much there. Just the commitment issues are heavy on both of them.
So can you practice the rodeo like in a foam pit and learn it that way?
I never did, to be honest, because like Woodward West is the closest place to try it at.
Yeah.
And I haven't been there in like 2 years.
Okay.
So I just decided to send it one day. Cause my homie, actually one of my homies, JoJo, shout out JoJo.
Shout out.
He tried it one day and I was like, oh, he tried it. I think I gotta try it too, because I've always been thinking about it. And he gave me a few tips for the first time he tried it. Tried it, spun it, and then I wasn't scared of spinning it anymore, but now I just can't land it and like get myself to land it. That's the hardest thing with skateboarding for me, like commitment. Everything is commitment, like when learning a trick for me, not trying it. I'll try it, get really close, but committing to it just is a whole nother story. It's annoying, but it's part of skating for sure.
For sure. Okay, well, cool. Do you have anybody you want to thank or shout outs to the homies or?
Yeah, thank you, of course, for having me coming down from the city to come out here, you know. Thank you to Bane and Justin and Ashley for letting us use the ramp, build this beautiful vert ramp. And shout out to my mom, my dad, even my dog. Shout out to Bruno, if you're
shout
watching
out.
This. And yeah, shout out to them. And shout out to everyone who's just been like supporting me. Like even if you left a comment on one of my videos or just, you know, seen me once and enjoyed my skating, like anybody like that, you know. And shout out to everyone watching this.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, shout out to you and you and you.
Even you in the back, like back there, you too.
There's something in my eye.
You might not be watching, might be eating chips. Shout out to you.
Shout out to you. And also, all the information will be below in the description. There will be a link to his YouTube channel where you can find all the stuff he's been posting. We'll have the Du Bois, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Anyway, I may not have all the info in my brain, but it is below. So read that and you'll know what to do. Big pleasure coming out here, dude. Seeing this ramp. Thanks to your mom. Thank you. Hope to see you soon. Let's skate. And I don't know. The Olympics, is that going to tear you apart if you don't make, is that kind of like something you're really passionate about? Like,
yeah, that's like the main goal. My two main goals right now are to get gold in X Games and then go to Olympics.
I think you can do it.
Yeah. Yep. That's the two
commitment,
goals.
Commitment. And it's all. Remember, you heard it here first. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, dude.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You did it.
Yep. Thank you so much for just coming out and doing this. I appreciate it.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
And you're probably asking yourself, is this guy going to play a music video or what? And the answer is yes. This guy is going to play a music video or what? And in this installment's music video, it's a band that is an international band. I swear you put your finger anywhere on a globe and one of these band members is going to be from that area. All right. It's called the Pink Elephants Project. And what started off as an online music collective in 2015 is now being featured on SMFM. Dreams really do come true. With that, I'd like to play you the track from the Pink Elephants Project. It's a hot track, and it's off their upcoming album, Mothers of the Sun. Enjoy it, won't you? Ambient, shoegazy, fugazy. What influences did you hear? I love that. And that video, a musical, cinematic, aesthetic, proper. I want to thank Pink Elephants Project for reaching out and wanting to be a feature on SMFM. Really cool. And I always like to deepen the bag of what gets played on this show. All inclusive. All day, all night. And we do this as a form of protest. Anytime you can achieve joy, anything you can find joy, that is a form of protest. All right. Keep the joy high. Thanks again. You want to know more about Pink Elephants Project? Find them here at Pink Elephants Project. And gaze.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com. where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.